of you are consider yourself patient people? I see a couple of hands. Most folks are going, I don't think so. It's interesting. One of the most irritating things, if you talk with people, especially people that work, one of the most irritating things is waiting in line at the drive-thru, right? You know, once you're in line and you place your order and then it just does it not just seem like forever that you are waiting in line at the drive-thru? I talk with people all the time. It just don't go there, it takes forever. Don't go there, it takes forever. A survey was done last year, and when waiting in line at Burger King, you're in line just under 3 minutes, 171 seconds, under 3 minutes. At Chick-fil-A, it is just slightly higher than that, just right, almost exactly 3 minutes at Chick-fil-A and Taco Bell. At Crystal's, you can wait at Crystal's for about 2.5 minutes. At McDonald's is the highest one by 4 seconds. It beats out Chick-fil-A by 4 seconds, just over 3 minutes, 3 minutes and 4 seconds. Taco Bell, 146 seconds. That is right at two and a half minutes. And then Wendy's is the winner, 145 seconds. In line. Now stop and think about that for a moment. You would think, wouldn't you, sometimes when people get out, come back from lunch, have you not ever talked to somebody and they would swear up and down they have been in line 2.5 hours? Right? We just aren't patient people. I mean, we want something, we want it now. Instant potatoes, instant grits, microwave dishes. We wait in line for literally seconds, and in our minds, it's hours, it seems like sometimes. In fact, I read this week that Amazon, let me tell you how impatient Americans are. Amazon is working on a tactic or a business model where they can actually deliver things same day as ordered. They don't have it perfected yet. They're working on the details, but they said there is such a demand. I don't just want it. I want it what? Now. You know, when I go online and when I look at it, I want it and I want it now. I want it right now. Well, the problem with that is, and in fact, in life, and especially in our society, there are a lot of things that you can have right now, that you can get right now, but many things, that is not the case. And one of the toughest things, I think, for Christians in particular, is living between the promise and the blessing. Living between the promise and the blessing. Anybody here can identify what I'm talking about? Is there anybody here this morning that God's promised you something that you haven't seen happen yet? Anybody? Anybody that you know, it's in your spirit, you know something's going to happen, you know it's going to take place. In fact, some of you may can point back to the time, the hour, the moment, where you were kneeling or where you were sitting when God promised you that. But the time, listen, the time between the blessing and the promise is not now. Right? It just doesn't necessarily happen right now. In fact, a lot of life happens between the promise and the blessing. Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Nobody in the Bible, I think, epitomizes this better than Abraham. Abraham can probably identify this better than anybody else. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, the first three verses of the 12th chapter, that is the promise. That's the promise that is made. Listen to it. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Watch what he says. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in all the families of the earth you shall be blessed. Now don't you just imagine Abraham, when he got this, was like, bring it on, God, right? But life doesn't happen that way. In fact, if you walk through, just keep your Bible, if you have your Bibles open, let's just real quick, I just want to survey, just real quickly. Abraham strikes out. He leaves Haran. He strikes out, not really sure where he is going. You go down just a few verses and you find that he has not very far on this trip and famine strikes, right? So he has to kind of detour, and he goes down to Egypt. Down in Egypt, you remember what happens? The first thing that happens when he's down in Egypt, he's afraid that Pharaoh is going to kill him to get Sarah, his wife, and he lies about that. He deceives Pharaoh. Pharaoh realizes it and gives Sarah back, sends them on their way. You go over to chapter 13, flip over another chapter to 13, and there's a problem between Lot and Abraham. Lot's men are complaining, and Abraham's men are complaining about there's not enough water and there's not enough grasslands for all of their herds, so they have to split, right? Lot goes one direction, Abraham goes another direction. You flip over another chapter, Lot goes down there, and he finds himself in the middle of a battle. He is actually taken captive. Abraham has to stop what he is doing and leave, gather up a group of men, go down and free Lot from these invaders that have captured him and bring him back. Do any of you wonder, along about here, do you wonder if Abraham was saying, "Now God, we need to have a talk because I'm not seeing the blessing. Do you remember what you said, God? I will make you a blessing. I will make a nation of you. You shall be great. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." You remember all that, God? Abraham, in chapter 15, encounters God in a strange way. You can read the story there in chapter 15. You remember he falls into a deep sleep and he has a vision or a dream. It's a strange dream, but in the middle of it, God is reminding, this is important, God is reminding Abraham of the promise that was that he had promised him. You flip over one more chapter. Now remember, Abraham has just been reminded in a very strange way and yet powerful way that God is going to keep his promise to Abraham. You flip over one chapter, and what do you find? Abraham and Sarah doing what? Taking matters into their own hands. Why did that happen? I think in part that happened, in large degree that happened, because sometimes there's a lot of living to do between the promise and the blessing. And Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands. You remember Abraham went in and slept with Hagar, and Ishmael was the result. They had created their own Ishmael. You turn over one more chapter to chapter 17. God speaks the covenant promise to Abraham again. And Abraham, in chapter 17, I find this interesting. In chapter 17, Abraham begs God to fulfill the promise through Ishmael. You see what he's just done? Abraham has not only taken matters into his own hands, but he has said to God, "God, can't this be enough? Isn't this good enough?" You ever been there? Anybody ever been there in that place and in that spot? Lord, just fulfill it through this. In chapter 17, the latter part of chapter 17, you see that God tells Abraham, In one year, I'm going to fulfill the promise to you. The next thing you find in chapter 18, the next few verses of chapter 18, God comes with his angels and he visits Abraham and reminds him of the promise, and Sarah laughs. And before you're too hard on Sarah, you ever been there? You ever thought, "Yeah, right. God, it's been a long, long time since you promised that. It's been a long time since. In fact, God, it is almost humorous for me to hold on to this promise now." You ever been there? You ever lived there? See, Abraham learned a lot about living between the promise and the blessing. You go on a little bit further and you see that God tells Abraham he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham intercedes for Lot. Lot is delivered out of the city, and God destroys, in chapter 19, God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. You go down to chapter 20, and what does Abraham do? Abraham repeats the same mistake that he made years ago before. He is afraid again, and again lies about Sarah being his sister. Indeed, she was his half-sister, but he misrepresented the situation. And again, this king realizes it and gives Sarah back to Abraham. And what an incredible story that is. And then finally, look at it in chapter 21. Are you there in chapter 21? I don't have this on the screen, but in chapter 21, the first two verses. "And the Lord visited Sarah and said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, and at that set time which God had spoken him." spoken to him. Do you understand what's happened here? There's a lot of living sometimes between the promise and the blessing. The problem for us is, how do you live during that time? How do you live during that season? How do you last? How do you get through that season? How do you get through that time? Now turn, you had your other hand in Romans 4, turn there. And what I want us to do this morning, I want us to walk through and I want to show you 5 Bible truths, just in the next few moments. I want to show you 5 Bible truths that will build your faith when you're living between the promise and the blessing. 5 Bible truths that will help you live between the promise and the blessing. I just want to make sure I'm connected. Is there anybody here this morning that can use that? Anybody here living between the promise and the blessing right now? And Pastor, I can use you speaking into my life. I can use these truths in my life. 5 Bible truths. I want us to begin with. In fact, before we do that, let me read the whole scripture, and then I'll come back and I'll show you one point at a time with the scripture that goes with it. But I want you to get the feel of the whole thing. This is not on the screen, but read it. Start in verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, and not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he has promised. Here is the key to everything I'm going to say this morning, and it is this. The time between the promise and the blessing does not change God. In that truth, you can live. Are you hearing me this morning? The time between the promise and the blessing, the circumstance may change, the situation may change, the environment around you may change, you may change, your body may change, the world may change, but the time between the promise and the blessing, God does not change. And on that truth, my friend, you can live. Amen? You can live. Now, on that premise, I want to show you 5 things that will help you and I to live out that premise between the time of the promise and the blessing. The first thing this morning that I want you to see is this. It's in verse 16. The first thing is this. You have to know, if you're living between the promise and the blessing, you have to know that you are blessed. Look at somebody this morning and tell them you are blessed. Look at them and say, I am blessed. Do you know you are a blessed people? Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying this morning. I am not saying when the promise is fulfilled, you will be blessed. I am saying you are blessed. I'm saying in that moment where you live right now. I'm saying before the promise is ever actualized, before the promise is ever actually gained, before the promise is ever actually fulfilled, I'm saying right now in this moment, I'm saying right now as you sit in this pew, at 11:35 on a Sunday morning at the Rock Church, I'm saying right now in this moment you are blessed. Some of you have some promises that God has yet to fulfill. Some of you have some things that God is yet to do. Some of you have some great plans that God is yet to fulfill. But what I'm saying to you is that for you to live in that in-between time, you've got to know that you are blessed right now. I am blessed. Let me show you. Let me prove what I'm saying to you. First of all, you are blessed because look what the end of verse 16 says. Not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Do you understand this morning that he's talking about you and I? You and I are not of the law. We are not of Jewish descent, but we have been grafted in. We have been brought into the family of God. What I want you to understand and to know this morning is that if God never does another thing for me, if God never fulfills another promise for me, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Jesus Christ has washed my sins away. He has filled me with His Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, my friend. Nothing that He could ever do could compare with that. I am blessed. The reason that is so crucial is that because a lot of times living in the time between the promise and the blessing, you can get to thinking that you aren't blessed until. It's what I call destination disease. And you'll see it in a lot of areas in life. You see it in leadership. You see it in people thinking they are success. And you also feel it in blessing. See it in blessing. I will be blessed when? No, you are blessed now. You are blessed right now. Not only are you blessed spiritually because you and I have been grafted into the family of God. By the word, Romans says, by the faith of Abraham, we've been brought into the family of God. But I got some news for you, something else, another thing. And I know that living in the situation you're in, this may be hard to hear, but I want you to listen to me. Living in America, you are blessed. You understand that the poverty line in America, the poverty line in America is richer than 85% of the entire world. Americans throw away more food every day per person than most of the rest of the world consumes. Wow. If your total net worth, this is an old figure, it may have changed, I'm just going to be honest with you, it's an older figure, I haven't had time to look it up and recalculate it, but about 7 years ago, if your total net worth, your total net worth was $50,000. Now, before you throw that number out, let me tell you what that means. The total equity you have in your house, the total value of your car, the total value of your savings and your checkings, the total value of your 401k, in other words, all that is yours, if it totals up to $50,000 or more, which, by the way, is most of us sitting in this room, when you total it all up together, you are among the 3% of the wealthiest people in the world. You are blessed. We are blessed. And sometimes we get this feeling that I'm not blessed until, but I am blessed right now, this day, in this moment. Listen, I am not about, did you hear what I said a while ago? A lot of living happens between the promise and the blessing. And I'm telling you this morning, if you don't live that period between the promise and the blessing, you are living beneath what God has spoken, what Christ died for, and what His Holy Spirit is in you for. You cannot wait until then to live as though you are blessed. You are blessed right now, every step of the way that I am blessed. And then when the promise is fulfilled, yes, I will be even more blessed, but I'm blessed right now in this moment. Now look at somebody, now that you know what I'm talking about, and say, I am blessed. You are blessed. We are blessed. If you're going to live, listen to me, you cannot, if you miss this point, none of the rest of it will make any sense to you. You cannot wait until the fulfillment of that promise to live the life God's promised you to live. You got to start living it now. You are blessed. If you're going to live between the time of blessing and the time of promise and the blessing, you're going to have to know that you are blessed. Second thing, if you're going to live between the time, I'm giving you five principles now. The first one is if you have to know that you are blessed. The second one is this. You have to remember what God can do. Amen? You have to remember what God can do. What God can do. Look at it, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. Watch this. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Do you understand that the God who, Miss Hattie, the God who promised to you, whatever that promise is, I noticed you raised your hand a while ago, the God who promised that to you is the God who calls things that are not as though they are. Now listen to me. That same God is the God that the Word says cannot lie. He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. So if God looks at the thing and he calls things that are not as though they are, that means in God's heart, when he speaks the word, it's as good as done. And so you and I have to understand and remember what God can do. God can look into that lost child's heart and call them saved even when they're not saved yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because he's the God that can do that. God can do that. He is the God that can move on a corporate board, right? He can move on a corporate board and check. God, listen to me. The government rests on the shoulders of God. God doesn't rest on the government. The government rests on the shoulders of God. That means wherever God goes, wherever he chooses, that's where they go, right? God can move on a corporate world. Change that decision. He can call it. He can look at it and he can call it, even though it is not yet. He can call it as though it is. And in the spirit realm, it is done. You got to know what God can do. Listen, I've lived this. Some of you, especially on Wednesday nights, but because we talked about this a little bit, some of you have heard this story before. And many of you, because of knowing me personally, may know this story. But listen, I've lived this. I've lived this. Geraldine was pregnant with Casey Lynn. Danielle was 1 year old. We had a 1 year old. She was pregnant with Casey Lynn. Casey Lynn would be coming in about 4 or 5 months. I was a junior manager at a company. The senior manager had, because he and I, we had different integrity. I was a quality control manager. He wanted to do things a certain way, and I just refused to sign off on anything that was not so. He and I had clashed heads about it, and he made it known that when the appropriate time comes, I will see that I have your job. I heard that cuts were coming through a friend. I had heard that this manager had made certain that my name was on the list of the cuts that would come. The cuts were going to be broad. Many people, this was a season of cutback. Many people were going to be losing their jobs. And I had heard, now remember now, I've got a 1 year old. I've got another one on the way. Geraldine and I have only been married about about 4 years by now, right? Are you getting the picture here? Can anybody say pray? Right? I mean, listen to me, when you got a 1 year old and you got one on the way and you don't have any funds or resources, I'm being honest with you, that's just where we were financially. We didn't have anywhere else to turn and nowhere else to go. In fact, I think sometimes that's why God puts us in that situation, because if we have somewhere else to turn and somewhere else to go, many times that's where we go. God backed our backs up to the wall. And listen, Geraldine and I began to fast and we began to pray. Well, she was pregnant, I began to fast. We began to fast and we began to pray. Now, this is not in my notes. I just feel like somebody here this morning needs to hear this. We began to fast. We began to pray. On that, the cuts were announced, but they did not tell anybody who was being cut. Just that the day that it was coming, this was on a Monday morning at 8 o'clock. The managers knew that cuts were coming down. That Sunday afternoon, now we've been praying. Julian and I've been praying for about 3 weeks now. That Sunday afternoon, my phone rings. It is the vice president of human affairs from Charlotte, North Carolina, and he is on the phone with me, and he and the vice president for plant operations says, can you have supper with us tonight? I said, I can after church. You want to come to church with me? No, we won't go to church with you. I said, where you want to meet? It wasn't Austin's then. I don't remember what it was then. Where I'm going back, this is 20-something years ago. I don't remember what it was then. Said, we'll meet you there. I'll go to, Geraldine and I go and sat down with them. Actually, Geraldine did not go with me. We were supposed to. She wasn't able to make it. I went down and I sat with them. And the vice president of operations and the vice president of human affairs said to me, the cuts are coming down tomorrow and this is the way it is laid out. But we've had, this is their words, we've had a change of heart. And rather than laying you off, we're going to lay off the guy. They called the name. I'm not going to call the name. Some of you may know him because this happened in this city. We're going to lay him off, watch this, and give you his position. The next morning at 8 o'clock, they came in and they gave him, the one that had it in for me, they gave him the walking papers. They gave me his title, his desk, and the key to his company car and his expense account. What are you saying about it? I'm not telling you God's going to do that for you. I'm telling you God can. God can make a way when there seems to be no way. God can change it when the writing is already on the wall. God can change a man's heart. God can change kingdoms and governments. God can call life, call death, life to death. God can call healed that which is sick. God can call redeemed that which is lost. God can call something that which is nothing. Why? Because he's God and he can. Amen? Well, give him praise for that. When you're living between the promise and the blessing, you have to know that you are blessed and you have to remember what God can do. Third thing is this. You have to rely on what God said. You have to rely on what God said. Look at verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. God had taken Abraham, on the occasion that we're talking about, God had taken Abraham out into the field, and he had said, Abraham, look up. It was nighttime, it was dark. Look up. And Abraham looked up, and he sees the star. The heavens filled with stars, and God said to him, so as the numbers of the stars, so shall your offspring be. Now, here's what's crucial about that. Abraham, apparently, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed that it would be just as it had said to him. Now, listen to me. What that suggests to me is that Abraham relied on what God said. Abraham's focus, yes, he lived between the promise and the blessing, the fulfillment, the actualization of that blessing, but Abraham relied on what God said. He lived his life, I know what the circumstances are, but God has said to me. I know what I'm facing, but God has said to me. He, against all hope, people came along to him and said, Abraham, aren't you, where is that promise that you talked about? And all Abraham could say, all I can tell you is what God said to me. Abraham, why hasn't it come to pass yet? All I can tell you is what God told me. Abraham, why hasn't it been fulfilled yet? All I can tell you is what God told me. What God said to me. Abraham relied on what God said because, listen to me, because Abraham's life depended on what God said. In other words, it wasn't just that Abraham relied on God's word for the promise that he had been given. It was that Abraham lived his life on God's word. He relied on what God said. This man packed up everything and left and went to a city, right? Went to a city that he didn't even know where he was going. He was just searching. You talk about living on the word of God and walking in the Spirit. What did he do? He relied on what God said. If you're going to live between the promise and the blessing, listen to me. You got to learn to live not just on the thing that God's told you. Now, I'm making a distinction here that'll be easy to miss if you're not tuned into what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you live your life every day waking up, God said this, God said this, God said this. I am saying you got to learn to live your life between here and there on what God said. On what God has spoken. You gotta. If you're going to live between the promise and the blessing, you got to learn to live on God's word. On what He has spoken, what He has said into your heart. You got to rely on what He said. That's the only thing that allowed Abraham, against all hope, in hope to believe. In other words, he didn't just sit around. He went on living. He went on living on what God had spoken to him and what God had said. He relied on what God said. What am I going to do? I'm going to get up and I'm going to go forth. I'm going to live my life. Why? Because God has said it. God has spoken it. I'm going to live on what God has said. The fourth thing is this. First, you have to know that you are blessed. Second, you have to remember what God said. Thirdly, you have to rely on what God said. The fourth thing is this. You have to face the facts with faith. Now, that sounds simplistic. That sounds simplistic, but let's look at Romans. Look at verse 19, and let's see what it actually means. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Now, are you hearing what I'm saying? This man has been promised a child, and he is 100 years old. His wife is most likely somewhere between 85 and 90 years old. Really? You hear what I'm saying? See, what Abraham knew, now listen to me. What Abraham knew, when Abraham got to that point, I don't know where along the lines that it dawned on Abraham. I mean, I don't know if it was 60 or 70 or 80 or 85 or 90. I don't know if it's 95 or 96 or 97 or 98 or 100. I don't know where it all was along the way, but somewhere along the way, Abraham knew, I'm not going to be able to make this happen. Not trying to be crude there. You should understand what I'm saying. I mean, somewhere along the way, Abraham had to say, you know what? It ain't happened yet, and if it's up to me, it's not going to happen, right? And not only that, he looks across the supper table and he doesn't say it out loud. You understand what I'm saying? He don't say that out loud. No, what he says out loud is, honey, you're as beautiful as you have ever been. You're as You're as wonderful as you've ever been. You're as healthy and vibrant and young as you have ever been. And on the inside, he's saying, this ain't happening if it's up to us. Why is that important? Let me tell you why that's important. Because a few years earlier, Abraham thought he could make it happen. And he tried to. Listen to me. Somewhere between the promise that God gives you and the fulfillment of that promise, somewhere between those two, you and I have to come to the realization that I can't make this happen. And when that moment comes, you face that moment with faith. Because in this moment now, it doesn't depend on me, it depends on God. It's not my reputation that's on the line, it's God's reputation. It's not my name that's on the line, it's God's name that's on the line. It's not my ability, my talents, what I can do and what I can't do that's going to make it. It's on God. Listen to me. That's why, in fact, I find it fascinating what he says there, verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Now, how can that be? How can he say he did not waver? Wait a minute. How do you explain Ishmael? Let me tell you how I explain Ishmael. You understand when Abraham went in to Hagar and they had Ishmael, Abraham had not given up on the promise. He had taken it into his own hands. That's two different things. And somewhere along the way, God wants us to stop facing it in our strength, in our ability, in what we can make happen and what we can make do. And he wants us to back up and say, God, I know this is beyond me now. I know this is beyond me now. So I'm facing the facts with faith. I'm 100 years old. My beautiful bride is 90 years old. This is not up to us anymore. It's up to you. Your name is on the line. But God, I know what you've said, and I know you're going to come through. Amen? If you don't listen to me, if you don't get there, you'll never make it from the promise to the blessing. You got to face the facts with faith. Face the facts with faith. The fifth thing here, and I'm going to try to wrap this together for you this morning. Look at the end of verse 20. But was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. See, the fifth thing is this. You must expect God to do what he said he would do. You must expect God to do what he said he would do. Would you not have loved to have been in that tent on that desert night? Abraham had been waiting 5 years and 10 years and 15 years and 20 years. And on that night, the angel of the Lord came into Abraham and said, Abraham, 1 year from today, and I've watched you through the years. I've watched how you've struggled with this. I've watched how you fought. I was there. I saw you take it into your own hands. I've seen the times in the middle of the night when nobody else saw it, when you questioned and you wondered, God, I don't understand what is going on. This doesn't make sense to me. But I've seen, Abraham, when you get up the next morning, that every morning you're still faithful. And Abraham, what I want you to know is I haven't forgotten my promise. I haven't forgotten what I've told you. I haven't forgotten what I'm going to do. And 1 year from today, Abraham, Sarah will bear you a child, the child that I've been promising you all along. See, Abraham lived expecting to have that conversation with God. He expected God to do what God said he would do. He lived keeping God's word as best he could because he knew God would keep his word. Let me say that again. You might need to write that down. Abraham lived keeping God's word because he knew God would keep his word. He expected God to do what he said he would do. Let me tell you how real this is. I'm going to jump forward real quick. Let me tell you how real this is, and then I'm going to pull all this together for us. Let me tell you how real this is. This is so real that years later, when God moved on Abraham in Genesis 22 and said, take your son, your only son, and go to the mountain and sacrifice him to me, Abraham was able to say, if it is necessary, God will raise him from the dead. What was he doing? He was keeping God's word because he knew God would keep his word. If you and I are going to live between the promise and the blessing, and some of you this morning are, we're going to have to learn, we're going to live expecting God to do what he said he would do. See, the time between the promise and the blessing does not change God. And in that truth, live. Amen? See, knowing that you are blessed, remembering what God can do, relying on what God said, facing the facts with faith, expecting God to do what he said, brings into sharp reality, sharp focus this reality. That even when things are out of our control, they're not out of his control. Amen? Amen. How do you do that? How do we do that? Real quickly this morning, the only way to live between the promise and the blessing in a phrase is this: stay close to God. Here's what I want you to see this morning. Listen to me. Don't miss this. God's made you a promise here. And He's going to fulfill that promise here. Listen to me. Then God is moving from the promise to the blessing. And if you want to get there, stay close to God. You know how to miss the blessing? How to miss the blessing is to go off some other direction, some other way. That's how to miss the blessing. Because here's what I know. God moves from promise to blessing. Now, listen to me. God doesn't always, I don't have much stage room here, right? I don't have much stage room here, so I can't really illustrate it. But listen, God doesn't always, God doesn't always move from promise to blessing, right? Sometimes God moves from promise right right I don't know what it is with God, but a lot of times God just doesn't know what a straight line is. God goes all over the place. But this is what I know: all along the way, God is teaching me and God is training me, and He's getting that out of me that wants to do it myself and depend on myself. And He's working in my life and helping me to understand and see Him more clearly, helping and building my faith. And if I stay close to God, and listen, when God goes left, I go left. And when God goes right, I go right. And when God stops, I stop. And when God moves again, then I move again. If I stay close to God, this is what I know: it may be longer than I think it should be. It may be harder than I think it should be. It may take a different route than I think it should take. But I know that eventually God's going to end up at the promise. And when He ends up there, I want to be there with Him. I want to be there with Him. So you stay close to God. You stay close to God. How do you do that, Pastor? You want that in a practical way? Let me just real quickly. Yeah? Let me tell you how to do that. Make your devotional time a priority. You want to stay close to God, you make your devotional time a priority. Second thing is this: make your relationships with your spiritual mentors a priority. The people that God is speaking through into your life, make those relationships a priority. That'll help you stay close to God. A third way, and I'm going to finish with this. A third way is this: make your time with your church family a priority. Why? Because God, in the community of faith, God builds your faith. Helps you stay close to God. Helps you stay near to Him. This morning, I want you to know that God's moving from promise to blessing. In the meantime, or in that route, it doesn't change God, but it changes you and I. So stay close to God, because He's going to end up where the promise is fulfilled. Amen? Amen. Here's how I want to close this morning. Different altar call. If you are one of the individuals this morning, and you know, I'm not giving just a general altar call. I'm not asking for everybody to get up and come this morning. I'm saying to you, if this message has spoken to you, you know what I've been talking about this whole time. You know what the situation is. It went off in you like a light bulb. You know what you're believing God for. You know what you're waiting for. You know what it is that God's spoken into your life. And you're living in that time. this is what I want you to do. I want you to get up and come stand around the front. I want to pray a prayer over you this morning. If that's you, if you're living in that time right now, I want you to get up and come down to the front. Come on. Come on. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Here's what I need. Now that these have come down, I need several of you to come and just stand behind. Give us a wall of faith behind them, won't you? You just come and let's just several of you come and just stand behind. And we're just going to form a wall of faith behind these people that have come this morning. All of these are our dear brothers and sisters. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, right now, standing at this altar, Lord, this was an act of faith on the part of these individuals, Lord. Lord, as I look along this line, Lord, there's some of the individuals here, they've shared with me. I know what they're believing for. I know what they're hanging on for. I know what they're trusting you for. And yet, Lord God, there are many in this line that I don't know. I don't know what they're believing for. I don't know what it is you've said to them. But God, they know. They remember the time. They remember the season. They remember what you said. God, I have no doubt that in some of their lives, Lord, some of them, because they are just like, Lord, they're as human as they can be. Some of them, Lord, are having a hard time moving from the promise to the blessing. And I thank you that this morning this word is speaking into their hearts. That right now, God, their faith is being built. Right now, God. Right now, God. So, Lord, I ask you for two things this morning. Lord, as tempting as it would be to ask you to bring about the promise and bring about it now, that's not what I feel like you would have me pray. Lord, I ask you for two things. One, Lord, strengthen their grip. This morning, Lord, strengthen their grip on your coat. Strengthen their grip on your hand. Strengthen their grip to hang on to you. Strengthen their grip to keep living, God. Strengthen their grip to keep believing, God. Keep strengthening their grip to keep trusting, God. Strengthen their grip, Lord. God, some of them are weak, Lord. And when I say strengthen grip, what they need is rest. They need just a rest, God. Some of them, God, need, Lord, yes, patience. Others, God, need tenacity, Lord, that they can just go. And you know what it means, Lord, for to strengthen their grip. And this morning, God, strengthen their grip. The second thing, Lord, is clarify their hearing. Clarify their ears. That not only is their grip stronger, but their hearing is clearer. That they can draw near to you. They can draw close to you. They can travel with you, Lord, between the promise and the blessing. And no matter where you go, Lord, they're there with you, Lord. Knowing that one day they're going to end up at that place where the promise is fulfilled. Lord, relationships right now. Financial situations right now. Healing right now, God. We call it before you. Lord, jobs. We call them before you right now, God. Lord, appointments. We call them before you, God. Anointing. We call it before you. All of the things, Lord, that people are standing for right now, we call it before you. We thank you, God, that that period doesn't change you, but it changes us when we draw near and stay close to you. And I thank you for it this morning, God. I praise you for it. Now, Lord, on all of these, I pray a blessing. That you might bless them abundantly, Lord, as they live between the promise and the blessing. We praise and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nobody move. Everybody just stay where you are. I'm just going to dismiss from here. Before I do, next week I'm going to preach a sequel to this message. It is about the ever-increasing demands of faith. Have you ever wondered why it seems that faith just seems to demand more and more and more? The answer is God is doing something incredible in your life. And next week we're going to talk about that some. So I encourage you, if you were here this morning, this ministered to you, to be back again next week. Next week. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for being here this morning.